check is in the mail.
Bring it in.
It's brung.
No, I was just making dirt bike sounds.
Bring, ding, 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 ding. I don't have a dirt bike, so I don't know those things.
That is because I am Kawasaki Cove, aka Shawnee Supermoto, sitting across from my good friend Paulie. Push a pedal to the floor, and this is the manual.
The manual.
So when you come in, wipe your boots at the door. Hang your fitted hat on the hook and don't take yourself or us too seriously. We're just having a good time over here. We're late because of we were at the Catholic basketball game. The Catholic school basketball game. My daughter is a cheerleader.
Okay.
This poor girl, to her last game, she lost her skirt.
Oh, Jesus.
Luckily, she's so short that her shirt hangs down to her knees.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it just looked like she had an extra long torso for a couple of minutes. Last show, it was her skirt. This show, she lost a sneaker. Coco, oh, there he is.
She's losing everything.
Yeah, poor girl. She just can't. She's not built for, you know, that kind of thing. But this was our last game. So let me tell you. So my wife texts me. I leave at halftime so I could be back here so we could do the show.
Because you're thorough.
I am. Also, that's the other thing. If you're watching, waiting on KLX content, hang tough. It's coming in just a few minutes. If you're watching on the gig, go over to Thorough White Dude and subscribe to that channel because we're shifting over there. So my wife hits me up and she's like, the coach got thrown out of the game for flipping out on the ref. Now, not that there's anything wrong with it, but our coach is a girl.
Okay.
Okay? And she's got her voice is worse than mine without any filtration on it.
With the squeak?
The squawking, bro. She's like a redheaded, squawking, angry Irish broad. She's always yelling at the guy, God defense! I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, this
poor kids. Oh, they're being tortured, losing the clothes, they're having to listen to that shrill voice.
We suck.
Okay.
We got two players. We got one kid. We got a brother who plays center, who's just drives to the hole and nobody can stop him.
Okay.
And we got a short little white dude who's like a John Stockton to him.
Just dishing it off to him,
right?
All right?
Everybody else, they're garbage, dude.
They're just there because you need five.
Yeah, they're like, there's the kid with his glasses that are fogged up while he's playing. There's a kid who has hair across his face and he keeps flipping it back trying to be able to see. A couple kids have untied shoelaces. You know, like, one kid's probably a solid 3'6".
Okay.
Right? Now,
play him in the box with that height.
Now, so here's the problem. We have no fundamentals.
Okay.
Now, when you have no I don't think these kids can, besides number 12 and number 30, John right. Stockton and Malone.
Well, yeah.
Besides those two, I don't think these, there's no sound, they're telling me.
Did you turn it?
Besides number
That was absolutely 12, sound.
I'm getting light. Sound.
Whew.
Your round logo is dark on dark. Well, there, I definitely got sound. Ninty 667. Ninty.
I got sound and video.
Retry, brother.
Made me nervous there. I don't appreciate that sort of attack on my... there we go.
All right, so check this out, right? Because we do definitely have sound here.
I heard it. I don't
appreciate yeah. that. Yeah, we definitely got sound here. So these kids got zero fundamentals.
Okay.
And this coach is flipping out on them
right.
like it's their fault. If your guys can't do a bounce pass or a pass at a chest pass, we've come to the point where like everything is rushed. She's yelling at him, hurry up. Like, no, that's not how you play basketball, lady.
Right.
Slow it down sometimes.
Right, not at their skill level. It's not fast break all day.
No. And if your guys can't bounce pass, there's a problem with the coaching.
Yeah.
You're not giving them the right fundamentals.
Yeah, I agree.
We came to the end of a game one time where the other team is up two.
Okay.
And that other team, there's no shot clock in this league because they're eight or yeah. however yeah, old yeah. they are. The other team just starts passing it around the key. Pff, boom, boom, passing it and keeping it away from our guys.
Right.
Three of our guys, it's easy to keep away from them because they're the scrubs.
Right.
The other two are trying to do what
trying
they can
the
do.
Lane.
And then we're down nine and she pulls Carl Malone.
Okay.
We're like, I'm like, what are you doing, lady? So she's always flipping out without even realizing that you suck at coaching.
At least a good portion of it is on her.
If our other three guys could have a strong bounce pass,
right,
that's all we need right. to actually be a solid team. So she got kicked out of the game for flipping out at the ref, which is ludicrous because, again, lady, it's your fault that we suck this bad.
Yeah.
We got the talent there. You don't need right. you don't need five great players.
No.
You need two solid players and a couple of guys who know how to dribble without getting a travel called on them.
Right. Yeah. At the point at which your boys can't even make a chest pass, that's the coach. That's the practice. I don't know. Do they get quality practice time? I don't know how it works.
I'm telling you, I don't want anything else on my plate.
Oh, no, no.
Right? But I'm telling you that this is such a sad state. Like, it's such a sad performance that I have considered going to Sister
coaching.
Nancy, the principal of the school, and saying, hey, sister, maybe you need a new coach. I'm going to tell you what. I'm gonna give you some time because these kids
right.
could play and could win some games
yeah.
if you got this bird out of there. You can't have a babe coaching boys basketball. It doesn't work.
It's crazy talk.
I also think that other teams come in and they're like, oh, a girl coach,
this.
Please. She doesn't teach fundamentals. Like, the other teams are running layup drills, and
right.
we're all eating snow cones on the bench during warm-ups.
What flavor?
Rainbow.
All right. Well, that's fine, then.
Ridiculous. Ninty-6-7-6. What's up, brother? Thanks for stopping by. You're a new face. We appreciate that you came through. So, here I am, dude. I'm a man of many hats.
As we know.
Throw another hat into the mix, and that hat is actually a helmet.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be your basketball coach.
Because now daddy is a... See, I don't know whether to say I ride a dirt bike or a motorcycle. Because it's kind of a hybrid of both,
okay.
right? It's a supermoto. It's
okay.
got street tires on it. It's got like street bike tires, but it's basically a dirt bike. But
well, where's it your intention to ride it mostly?
Both of them, Dad.
Oh, all right.
I'm trying to go all places. I want to go off-road. I want to take walking paths in state parks that I shouldn't be on. I'm trying to shred up the first baseline in local Little League baseball fields.
So it's not as much a bike as it is a ticket source. Just
it's more
tickets.
Well, if I get good enough,
right.
I'll be able to outrun the tickets, right. But for it's more of a I've always been an alley cat.
Okay.
This is more of a vehicle for me to reclaim my alley cathood. You know, because I've been in the house now for a while. I
right.
got some kids. Now
yeah.
I'm a dad.
Right.
I own a business.
Yeah.
I go to bed at 10 o'clock. And I've lost some of my flair. I think my wife is falling out of love with me because I'm becoming too safe.
Sure.
You know?
She gets comfortable and there goes the love.
She didn't find me when I was safe.
Right.
That's for sure,
no.
bro. She didn't fall in love with a guy who was sturdy.
Right.
You know? If anything, she fell in love with the madness that I provided. She also had a pretty serious crush on Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
So I'm trying to go a little bit in that lane.
You're going to bleed in there and see what you can pull out of it.
I got an armored flannel
okay.
on the way, so
right.
I'll ride like in a flannel and maybe some Dick Air ones, grow my hair out, dye it blonde.
There you go.
Shake it back like
Get
that. Maybe
a
I'll
patch.
Maybe she'll fall in love with me again.
There
I don't
you go.
Know.
Bring her all the way back to her youth.
I'm thinking about getting a TWD patch on
okay.
the back of my hoodie.
Just don't get a Mongols patch, because that's usually a problem.
Well, now. Apparently, I sent you that, and if we get to the Mongols discussion, then we'll get to it.
All right.
Yeah, TWD patch that says Lone Wolf
Lone
across
wolf.
The bottom. Alley Cat, maybe. Bethlehem, New Jersey.
Bethlehem, New Jersey. All right.
Bethlehem is a.k.a. Blackwood.
Okay.
I don't know how familiar you are with the 5% teachings, but they call Harlem is Mecca.
Okay.
You know, Queens is the desert. Brooklyn is Medina. They've taken biblical names and renamed places around them.
I recognize some of those.
Asbury Park is Allah's paradise.
Okay.
So me and Screw have renamed Blackwood aptly Bethlehem.
Sure.
Now, so I have made it through my first week of being a dirt biker,
right.
a bike life bull, without really any physical harm to myself. Now, there's been quite a bunch of damage to my ego every time I stall out at a red light with cars behind me. I can't seem to figure.
Can't stick the clutch.
Yeah, you know, once I'm moving.
Right.
Bing, 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 bing. I could punch through them, no problem.
I mean, that's the story of any manual engine. It's the start that's the toughest part. The stopping and the going are easy.
I'm okay.
Not
I'm at
easy,
about,
but easy.
I'm at about 60%.
Okay.
All right, 60% of the time I can get from neutral to moving without stalling the engine.
You got to go out like at some off time over in the front of your neighborhood where the main street has the big hill. Like,
yeah.
Put your bike at Lena's and then just keep trying to just get up the hill on a dead stop.
Look, I'm 100% rolling.
Yeah.
Rolling downhill in neutral, I'm 100% getting
I'm talking about going
first.
Up the hill. Make it as difficult as possible to get your skills up.
It's the yeah, you're right. No, I do need, and that's in my mind, that I need to like just be out front or take it to a parking lot and just practice neutral.
Right.
Because there is not a feeling that I've felt in quite some time that feels like six cars behind you at
just
a light
for you to make a left.
Stalled out, and you stall out three times trying to get it moving. I would say it's similar to a guilty verdict being read in a courtroom. Like, you just feel hopeless, dude.
What's your threshold for like, all right, it stalled four times, I'm just going
to walk it
through the intersection?
Let me walk it to the side? I can't do that, though. I'm not going to do that.
It's even more embarrassing. At least you can pretend like the bike's not working and it's not your fault.
I should. Just start,
like,
start take my helmet off and start.
God damn it. This fucking thing.
Yeah. So, we went out. There he is. Just got here and already. What's good? Psilocybin. AIDS here. We didn't start. We decided to start late so that you could be here at the beginning.
That's
AIDS.
Right. We decided.
We decided. This Zin is really spicing my throat up a little bit.
The what now? Okay.
Trying not to vape on camera.
Yeah, it's smart.
You know? So I'm using these nicotine patches. I also use them as workout fuel. You pop one of these mid-workout.
A little speedish.
You start sweating a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Send you through the roof. So the second day that I have this bike, Screw has an electric dirt bike. And he's been trying to talk me into an electric dirt bike, right?
It's an electric dirt. I thought it was just like a city bike. He's got an actual, it's a dirt bike.
Now he has upgraded to like a dirt bike. And it's cool. It's cool.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just getting my.
Some guys might knock an electric dirt bike. I won't. I think it's a cool toy.
No.
However, I've always had my eyes set on a supermoto. Mm-hmm. So I told Screw about 2 weeks ago. I said, look, cuz, I'm probably buying myself a bike for my birthday. You got about 2, maybe 3 weeks to convince me to go electric. And I'm not against it. You guys need some intros and some more subscribers. Yeah, no, we'll see. I'm going to see if I can pick some up. I'm going to stop by the...
the subscriber store?
Pick
up a couple cases at Costco?
Stop by the local bulk store, see if we can't find some.
We would love some more subscribers, Nindy. If you know any, send them our way.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell somebody about us. So, I'm getting... but also, thank you, Nindy. So I tell Screw, you got 2 weeks to talk me into an electric. But everything he sent me, there's such a wall of entry into the electric dirt bike field. One, to get the ones that look and feel like real dirt bikes,
right,
you're looking at minimum $8,500.
So the first thing is cost.
Expensive.
Okay.
Two, you can't walk into a store somewhere and go, hey, I want an electric dirt bike. I want the Suron Storm B. You know, that's like their top of the line electric. You can't just walk into a store to like finance one or look at one. Everything is online.
Okay.
And any place that you can buy them online doesn't have them stocked. They want you to give them money and then they send you a dirt bike at some time in the future.
Eventually, when we get to it.
Whenever it happens. So
you're,
it's like
on the list.
So if there's a guy out there who's got the money to stock a whole bunch of electric dirt bikes,
right,
he's going to make a killing.
Where's he going to get them from, though? They're all like one at a time off the line.
Well, you wait one at a time. You stack them up for like, you know, a year and a half. You get yourself a little stock of like 20 of them.
Right.
And then once one leaves your stock, you buy another one. 7-1 electric dirt bikes. I'm working on
it.
There you go. It's my next business.
Thank goodness.
So Screw doesn't convince me because last week when we were doing the show and having all these technical problems,
right,
I veered off into looking at dirt bikes.
As you're wont to do.
And clicked the button next to the 300 KLX Supermoto that said, check if you're approved for financing. So I said, let me see what I could do. So I check if I'm approved. I get a call at noon the next day. Hey, bro, we got you approved for the KLX. I said, okay, how quick? I mean, I've been looking at electric dirt bikes. They're telling me months.
Right.
They're telling me they don't have them. How quick can I get this gas-powered dirt bike that you guys say that you have? Because apparently nobody has these.
Just get a picture of it.
He says, I'll get you out of here today. You want to come in at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or 5? I said, baby pop, I'll be there at 5. Do I need, you know what I mean? What do I need? He's like, you got to get insurance to drive it off the lot. I said, what if I put it in my truck? I don't need insurance to put it in my truck.
Oh, right, yeah.
But you do. Because it's a road legal bike.
They have a liability in that if you take the bike without insurance and start driving it.
Right.
Okay.
If you have a road legal bike, you need insurance to leave the lot with it, which, okay, whatever.
Because you got
to
register it, right?
So I'm working on the registration. Okay. They're getting it registered.
Right.
Got insurance, and I have a driver's license for cars. I don't know how much I care about a motorcycle license. I mean, really.
There's things you don't say out loud on YouTube.
Because here's the thing, right? Let's say this, right? You stop me. My bike's legal.
Right.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
Unless you catch me driving up the first baseline at a Little League field.
Right.
But I'm going to try and not be seen doing that. Yeah. Unless you catch me in the aisles of ShopRite driving a supermoto through the dairy section.
Cutting up the carpet in there.
If I'm not doing anything wrong, my bike is fully insured, registered, and legal, then what are you going to say that I don't got a motorcycle endorsement?
Right.
How much are you really going to break my balls, Ossifer?
Most likely you could hit him with I didn't realize that I needed a separate license.
Yeah, I could do that. I could hit him with the Flim Flam. Plus, I have the gold standard PBA card from the Jedi.
Oh, all right.
So, I think that's going to get me out of any problem.
That's going to get you out of the first base thing.
Maybe one day I'll get a motorcycle endorsement. We'll see how it plays out. So, I'm getting all choked up on this thing.
Because of the bike? Oh.
No, because of the nicotine patch. It's clogging my throat with.
Because you're busy yelling at the basketball game the whole time.
I'm all jazzed up. So I get the bike. Not the electric. I got the dirt bike.
You got the man's bike.
You said it.
You wanted to.
I mean? You said it. Screw, I talked to Screw. He's like, yeah, we'll come through. Let's ride.
Yeah.
So we go ride in the first day. Steph's calling me, and I don't have a Bluetooth or anything, so she's freaking out. She's like, I'm calling you 7 times.
You're supposed to be home for dinner?
Don't answer the phone. I'm like, sorry, babe, I don't hear it when I'm riding. I'll get something organized so that, you know.
Right.
I can hear calls coming in.
Yeah.
We're out. We're cruising, dude. We're on bike paths. We're cutting through construction sites.
Okay.
We're doing dirt bike stuff, bro.
Yeah, sounds like it.
We're calling ourselves the Dooligans.
The Dooligans.
Dual sport hooligans.
Yeah. Okay.
Dual sport is the style of riding. We're doing hooligan things on dual sports.
Makes sense.
We cut down we ride about 2 miles down a walking path through Bethlehem.
Okay.
Come out in Grenlock. If anybody knows, I mean, if you don't know it, whatever. We came down 2 miles out.
Right.
And we're riding. I get in front and start leading. And don't follow too close behind me because I don't know what I'm doing on this thing. And Screw, I think, got a little too close behind me. I might have downshifted. Whatever happened, I slowed down quickly.
Did you break his bad arm?
He grabs brake and crashes out, right? Oh. Rolls. He's okay. It was just a couple bumps and bruises.
All right.
But his electric dirt bike has bicycle parts on it. So that if he gets pulled over, he'd be like, this is a bicycle.
He'll just start pedaling away.
Right. So he's got like a derailleur for gears on the other side that does absolutely nothing.
But
it's really just there for looks. So you can say, no, this is a bicycle. So it breaks and we pull it off to the side of the road. Now we're trying to fix this thing. Screw doesn't have any tools with him. All I have is the tools that came in the little travel pack on my bike.
Okay.
That's like one little dinky wrench, a two-sided screwdriver, and, you know, like maybe an Allen key or something.
Okay.
So we're trying to figure out how to get his chain off and reroute it through this derailleur. The derailleur's bent, and we're screwed, dude.
Right.
We're there for a good 45 minutes working on this at about 5 o'clock at night. And I'm saying, I'm starting to get frustrated because I'm like, cuz, let's just take some of the Velcro off of this bag or this patch or shit, I'll use a shoelace.
Let's just tape it
together. Tie it to the frame. Let's just get home.
Right.
And then we can start figuring out how to fix it. But right. Screw's focused.
Yeah.
Laser focused,
I
bro.
Understand.
I respect the laser focus that he had. And he's like, kind of just ignoring me.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, cuz, it's getting dark. I don't want to ride home on my first day on this bike in the dark by myself.
Right.
Ron Jaworski's going to shake a fist off my golf course with those bikes. Oh, I'm going to be all on Valley Brook, cuz. Don't get it twisted. I'm going to be all on Joel's golf course. Also, I'm going to the daddy-daughter dance at Joel's golf course very soon.
Oh, very nice.
So we're on 45 minutes. We're working on this thing. Sweat. There's sweat and grease just combining in a pile below us as we work on the bicycle.
Couple of men working on their bikes.
We can't get it.
Right.
Here comes two guys pulling up. One's on just a chopper with saddlebags and chrome everywhere and big ape hanger bars. And the other dude's on a real dirt bike, a 400 DRZ that's sitting up this high off the ground.
Okay.
So now you've already eliminated all of my masculinity just by pulling up on these bikes, dude. You outdid Screws because you showed up on a Harley with saddlebags.
Right.
And you outdid me because you added 100 cc's to your bike. And now here I am, new guy.
Just a little kid in Grenlock.
Little boy trying to fix his bicycle. So these guys are like, you guys all right? We're like, meh.
Not so much.
Not really. So they're like, all right, well, let's see what's going on. They hop off. And they're like guys our age. They're like, well, you know, they start talking to us. So we all start, everybody's got hands on it at some point. We're shifting, somebody's holding the light, two guys are trying to fix it. An hour and a half goes by. I'm looking at these guys like, why don't you just leave and finish your ride? What the hell are you doing here? Like, this long. The guy looks at me and goes, he's like, I'm not getting beat by this thing. Now I'm pissed off.
Right.
I said, you're my kind of guy. I like that.
I completely understand that mentality.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't set out to fix anything today, but now that the project has started,
now that the problem's there,
we gotta see it through to the end.
So finally, the sun has went down.
Right.
We crashed at about 5. It's now about 6:45.
Okay.
We get this thing chained up how it's supposed to be. Rideable home, and the chain doesn't have to be addressed anymore because now it's fixed how it's supposed to be.
Right.
So we're like, all right, cool. Thanks, fellas, whatever. Screw gets the guy's Instagram, and I overhear it, right? And I'm like, you know, we're talking and fixing, guy's from Gloucester City. Looks like he's from Gloucester City. Irish redhead kid with tats all up and down him. Scruffy beard. Grease under his fingernails. This is a man's man.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't have a patch on the back of his vest. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, oh, no. We ride with the boys.
Right.
You know? Because Gloucester City is run by the boys out there. We won't put their names out because I got too much respect for them. They also live down the street over here.
Sure.
And I don't want no problems with them. I'm trying to ride on these streets, guys. All right? I'm not putting no flags on my bike. I'm just trying to ride. I just want to be a dirt bike kid.
Right.
So, kid's Instagram, I overhear it. And later, I'm at home. I come home. I'm like, babe, that was a nightmare. I'm sorry. You know, my first day out on the bike,
right.
I disappear for hours, right?
And she doesn't know what's happening. All she knows is you bought a motorbike and disappeared.
And now I disappeared.
Instantly, you're dead. There's no two ways about it. You're dead in the ditch.
I come in, dude. I got a grease glove on. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just greased up all the way up my wrists. I'm like, this was a nightmare, dude. You know, this is with this, that, and the third. And then I had to drive. I drive home by myself. That's the worst part. It's cold, dark,
right?
And I'm first day by myself riding up a busy road.
There's not one aspect of this that you're not ill-prepared for.
Not at all. I make it, though, right? I make it home safe. I'm good. As a little later on, I eat some dinner. I get the grease off my hands. I'm like, oh, let me see what this guy, maybe he's got some motorcycle shit on his Instagram. Let me follow this dude on Instagram.
The guys who helped you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that I'm going to see motorcycle content, Maybe some welding, you know, something like that.
Some manly stuff.
Yeah, maybe he's like...
He's a woodworker.
Yeah, maybe he's a cabinet maker or something like that. Maybe he's an iron... I thought iron worker. Okay. He had a real iron worker vibe to him.
IBW.
Guy has a pride flag blazed across the top of his page and pictures of him in a bikini bathing suit.
Well, there you go.
And I'm like, how about that?
Breaking stereotypes.
You can't read a book by its cover. That's for damn sure.
Not these days.
That was the last thing I was expecting to see on that Instagram page. But I love him even more because he's a man who acts like a man, right?
He's who he is.
I don't like you being soft. No. I don't care who you kiss, but I don't like softness.
Right. There's a difference. There's definitely a difference.
Yeah. So that was our first day on the bikes. And then it's been pretty cold, so I haven't got a lot of time on the bikes. Every chance I've found, though, you don't get it twisted, I've hopped out there on the bike.
Looking for excuses. You guys need something from the store? I'll go.
I had to go. We wash our blankets at the laundromat.
Okay.
Because they got the big dryers.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to change. I'm going to go change the... I'll put them in the dryer for you, babe.
I got this. No problem.
Let me go over there. I'll go handle it. You know? Also, you know I'm a man who, I should just take that out of my hand because I'm going to vape it if it's in my hand. You know I'm a man who has brand loyalty.
You do. You're very locked in. Once somebody treats you well enough, that's it.
When I'm, my gear is Polo.
Right.
My sneaks are Nike.
Right.
My tools.
Trucks are Chevy.
My tools are Milwaukee.
Right.
Now, I have to find my brand for motorcycle gear.
For the gear.
Yeah.
Are you a Kawasaki guy now?
I really don't know if I have a choice.
Okay.
I didn't become a Chevy guy by choice.
Okay.
I was a Chevy guy. It just kind of happened.
Well, the first time, but not going forward.
No, going forward, I'm a Chevy guy.
Okay.
I did not, Justin asked if I met Bernard on the bike. I did not. I was at work, but I had to pull off a job site to go meet Bernard. I was a Chevy guy. I am Chevy guy now. My first truck was Chevy. My second truck just happened to be a Chevy. I would have got something else. Chevy just happened to be the right price at the right time.
Okay.
So, but now I'm Chevy or die.
Okay.
Somebody mentioned to me, Brian the Carpenter said to me, of course, a Pollock gets a Kawasaki. Which made perfect sense. I don't know why I didn't think of it.
Right.
It's phenomenal that he thought of that. So, now I have to find my brand of motorcycle gear. Justin's telling me Fox. Fox is not bad. I think I'm a Troy Lee Designs guy, TLD.
Okay.
I'm either a Troy Lee Designs guy or maybe an Answer guy.
So you're turning your back on Ralph for this?
Ralph doesn't make motorcycle gear.
I mean, agree to disagree.
I'll tell you this. My riding boots are Polo.
Okay.
All right. Now, I'm also not going to spend $500, and that's probably, it's probably way more than that to get a Ralph motorcycle jacket.
I think we're talking
$1,200.
Now, are you loyal or aren't you?
Listen, and $1,200 for a jacket that is probably going to wind up...
Torn up?
I don't know, Ralph. I'll play that $1,200 and keep the jacket fresh.
You got to have a little faith in your riding skills.
I don't.
Okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
I know where I stand on the totem pole of life. If I was at a bike life ride out,
right.
I'm in the back, dude.
Just keep everybody
go
safe.
Go to the back, buddy. You know what I mean? You trail behind us about a block and a half and then catch up, you know, when we get there. Because my bike is not a... My bike is a dual sport.
Okay.
Here's... dual sports are a... My helmet is a Bell MX-9. It's a pretty sick helmet. Actually, I got it for 50% off what it actually costs. But a dual sport is like if a Charger or a Challenger or like a Hellcat is like a CRF 450.
Okay.
Like a super tuned machine. My bike is more of like a 96 Maxima.
Okay.
You know, like it's fresh. If it's clean,
you get the miles.
You got
on
a
it.
Fresh joint, but it's also reliable here.
Right.
You know, my maintenance intervals are like 1,500 miles, as opposed to like a CRF or a KX or a one of these race bikes where it's like 6 hours and you change the oil. Literally, it's like 6 to 10 hours of riding time.
And then you got to
do maintenance. I don't want to do all that.
Right.
I want a bike that I could just ride
yeah.
And then I'll wrench on it when I want to.
Once every 6 months, you got to put it up on a lift. And
or when I need to.
Yeah.
Right. So, what are we looking at? 29 minutes. All right. So, yeah. So, you know, you guys could catch me on a bike this summer.
Catch you outside?
I'm probably going... I got the Outback of dual sports. Yeah, dude. It's a Subaru Outback.
It works. It's your first bike.
And I treat it as... I really am very... I know that I'm not good.
Right.
So I drive as such. Like, if a car is coming and it's, you know, 200 yards away, instead of pulling out, I let that car come and pass me first before I pull out. Like, I'm taking it super careful. And then when I get on the dirt, man, I can loosen up a little bit. But as far as the street riding is concerned, I'm just, my goal right now is to be confident on the bike.
Right.
To get to the point where I feel confident.
Yeah.
Not to push any limits.
Right. Because you're screwing with other people when you're out on the road. You got to, like, you got to be comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean, like, I mean, like at the red light.
Yeah, you're like, out in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not just in the back roads just riding, you know.
Right. But the things that I look forward to more are riding to trails and cutting through some trails. Or yeah. I can't wait till I'm slicing through the fog of the Georgia swamps this summer, dude.
You going to drive it down there? No.
I'll put it on. I'm going to put it on the back of the truck, or by one of them trailers that's like a. It goes into the hitch and it's just made for one dirt bike.
Okay.
You know, bring one of those down to the down to Georgia and just. I'll be out there listening to country music, probably cut the sleeves off of whatever I'm wearing.
You got it.
I don't want to do it.
Get the rich farmer's tan.
Look,
going.
Dude, I don't want to do it, but I may have to put on a Confederate flag T-shirt.
When in Rome.
I don't stand for it. I don't agree with it, but...
You got to blend.
If you're going to be a full-blown Georgia redneck dirt biker, you got to play the part.
That's part of the game.
Yeah. That's what we got to do. It's not like a car. Road surface awareness and all comes into play. Yeah, that is something that road surface awareness is something that I didn't really think about until I got on the dirt bike.
Okay.
Like, now that I'm on the bike, I'm like, right. Oh, I have to, like, look at... I need to pay attention to cars. I'm paying attention to what I'm doing with shifting and what the end, what my RPMs are at. And I also have to be looking ahead to see, like, is there a big old pothole that I'm about to jump face first into?
That, and I'm assuming, like, loose gravel and stuff like that,
that
affects
too.
You more than a car.
Same thing.
Right? So you got to watch for, am I on tarmac? Am I on something slipperier? Am I on a patch of sand? All that kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Justin, you better watch your mouth, dude. I hang in any circle. You put me in any circle, and I thrive, dude. I will thrive on being a Yankee in a circle full of country boys riding a dual sport, driving a Subaru Outback, and I'll still do fine. You son of a bitch. Kick him out. Coco, get him out of here.
You're banned. You got the ban hammer. 5 days.
Where was I going?
Down to Georgia, apparently.
Oh, yeah, you know that. Yeah, I look forward more to riding trails and stuff, but it's, you know, I'm having a good time, dude. I'm a bike life guy now, dude.
It
you better
like
believe
a,
it.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're not gonna be able to have the show because you're just gonna come in all taped up like a mummy from breaking stuff.
Don't mention it.
Okay.
Listen, I'm careful. I'm a careful guy.
You seem like it. You seem conscious.
I here's the thing. If I'm not dead yet,
you're never gonna die.
I'm probably invincible.
I feel the same way.
I should be dead 6 times over.
Feel the same
at
way.
At least. And so the fact that I'm still living is not only a miracle, but a testament to the universe wanting me to strive, survive, and thrive.
That's the beauty of this podcast. Between the two of us, we have forever to get it going.
I don't think we'll ever die, dude. We'll still be sitting in this friggin' attic in 3023.
Right. Whoever owns the house, it don't matter.
Now, how many lives you got, Cove?
All of them.
I got 9+, dude. I'll say 7.
All right.
You're right. All of them, dude. Yeah. I got mad one-ups. I'm collecting. I'm every
got
time.
Mushrooms in your green
I'm
mushrooms in your
yeah,
pocket.
Exactly, dude. I'm catching a one-up at least every week, dude. So, as we're talking about all my lives and times I should have died. We all know, if you're familiar And I know most of the gentlemen who are in the chat are. If you're watching on the replay, maybe you're not. I know, also, our boy Ninty. Nint, we got to think of a way to shorten it up. Nint, 676. Our boy 676, who's new to the chat and hanging out, and we're glad to have him.
Absolutely.
May not be aware, but I did quite a tour through the justice system.
Yes.
In a lot of our older episodes, I've introduced you to characters such as JP the AK.
Right.
Gentlemen like Dink or No Skills.
Yeah. Gentlemen like Dink. I don't know. Which one was that? Who was that?
Dink was a Fruit Town Brim who okay. was closely associated with the correlation of us creating TWD.
Okay.
We got the okay from the Brims.
Right.
To create TWD. Guys like Machine Gun Funk.
MGF.
Yeah, also quite a character. In all of my travels, there's one that sticks out and forever holds a place in my heart. And every once in a while, I forget about him. And then I think about him, and it brings a chuckle to me.
Okay, that's a good sign.
So we have an associate of mine, Double J, we'll call him.
All right.
Who now, Double J used to be a famous graph writer in Jersey.
Okay.
South Jersey has three famous graph writers every 5 years. In a five-year stretch, you get three guys who get up so much that they get South Jersey fame.
Okay.
Right now, it's Manic and Pines. Before Manic and Pines, it was a dude named Knave. And before Knave, it was Caster and Amos. And Amos is actually Double J. Double J went from a drugged out graffiti superstar to now he's a real estate mogul.
That makes sense.
And a biker. He rides a bunch. He's got a bunch of bikes. He's
been traveling land all this time. He might as well put it to good use.
So one time when me and Double J were together, every once in a while I hit him up and I go, "You remember this guy?" We're staying in a program, and Double J stays in this room. I'm staying in this room by myself. Both of us have other bunks, but we just happen to be by ourselves at this point.
You sharing a wall or just...
Yeah. Here comes a new guy into the building. And this dude looks... He was rode hard and put away wet, right? He's got long, bright red, stringy, wavy, greasy hair. He's got these glasses that seem to always be kind of cocked to the side.
Okay.
Right? Fogged up. He might drool a little bit out the left side of his mouth on most days. And his prized possession was a dusty leather jacket that I'm not sure was even really leather.
Well, I mean, odds are it wasn't, but that's fine.
Right. And this guy's name was Mike. However, so Mike, we're talking, you know, Mike comes in. They put Mike in my room. I'm like, you guys got to be friggin' kidding me.
Right.
So as we're talking to Mike, you got to picture this guy. Right? This guy, Mike. This tall, gangly, greasy, pale-skinned, just drunkard. Right? Yep. Just a drinking man, dude. Told us that he just sat in his house and drank from morning till noon, went to sleep, then did it again the next day.
You don't get to be your roommate during this period of time without being up to something.
Nah. But not even a bar guy. Just a guy who sat on his couch drinking, and his complexion proved it. This guy, when he introduces himself, he goes, "Hey, man, what's up?" I'm like, "Hey, what's up, brother? I'm Sean." He's like, "Yeah, I'm Mike, but all my friends call me Razor."
Oh. But there you go.
Razor was so far from the nickname that this guy deserved that it was just so legendary that in his head, he created a world where people called him Razor.
Right.
And because he created that world, we called him Razor.
What other choice you have?
I would love to find out where Razor is now and what Razor is doing, dude.
You check the obituaries?
No. Off
the air, do you know his real name?
No.
Okay.
I think he was... I could be wrong, but I think he also claimed to be a prospect with the boys.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that was true.
But he claimed it.
I can't imagine the boys looking at this guy and going, "Yeah, we want you to wear our patch."
Right.
You know? Friggin' Razor. He was one of the most, just the story, appearance and character, like awkwardness and the story of what he is and what he thought he was is maybe the one of the most hilarious ones in my entire journey through the system, because there's a lot of guys who think they're something other than they are. Just, I don't think that you met Razor. This was a different spot that we were at. I wish you would have met Razor, because you would have got a hell of a kick out of Razor. Somebody else would have seen him and been able to tell me. You know what's a funny word for taking a smash?
Oh, okay.
Cooking up a butt sausage.
I'm not familiar with that one, but I'll add it to the
routine. We made it up today, dude. You know what I mean? Like, yo, I'm going to go drop a butt sausage off. I thought it was pretty hilarious. That
sounds painful.
Cooking up a butt sausage. I want to talk about something, dude.
Let's bring it down a little bit. Take it serious for a minute.
You got to understand you as yourself, not particularly you, but also you.
Right.
Payday. Sure. And all you gentlemen watching and whoever may watch afterwards. That you are a G and you need to act as such. But don't go trying to be some kind of super G.
Right.
Because then you'll go out of business.
I think part of being, was that like a...
You got it?
That was good.
All right.
That was good work.
Now, that was that. That's all. Condense that into this. Let's put it over there. Now.
All right.
That wound up with butt sausage in my head today, and I had to share it somewhere.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. So this is one, TWD rules. You know I'm serious because there's a pen in my hand right now.
This is boss Sean.
Yeah. Behind the desk, tapping a pen on things.
Right.
Pointing it at different stuff.
The new Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Pointing stuff, pen, think.
The chin. You got to get the chin going.
Anger.
Anger. But also that could be, it just hit me.
Hot damn. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Ideas. Now, what's an idea? Ideas.
Okay.
You know? I'm a little bit softer with my ideas than my anger.
I understand.
So let's get into advice.
Yeah.
When I'm doing advice, I put it between my middle finger.
Okay.
That's how you know this is good advice coming your way.
I'm writing this down.
so this is a TWD rule for life that has come up more than a few times in the past few weeks, which makes me remember it. Because as I talk to people, as I go through my days, I remember these rules that I placed on myself in the period of time, like pretty much in my 20s.
Okay.
When I was creating my code, the manual for my life, I was, you know, pulling these pieces of stuff from different spots. A majority of it, we know, came from the 5 percenters.
Right.
Right? And pretty much everything stems off of that 5% supreme mathematics in some form or fashion. But now that manual is laid out, and in my 30s, I have the wherewithal to start following my own manual,
okay,
which I did not necessarily have as I was creating it in my 20s.
Okay.
And I come across people that trust in my, I don't want to say spiritual, but I guess it is kind of spiritual wisdom, right? They trust in my knowledge of life and knowledge of self.
They trust your guidance.
Yeah. And so these things come up. And this, the thing that has come up time and time again over the past few weeks is that no one's more powerful than you.
Right.
Right. And we didn't talk about this yet, because if we talked about it in depth, then I'll find another rule to talk about.
We certainly haven't talked about it since we switched over.
I don't remember what last week's rule was. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's what the start was. That's the main.
Yeah. Rule
main
number
position
one.
Position is we'll figure it out.
TWD rule number one is we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You guys should have that marked in your notebooks from last week.
Right.
There's going to be a quiz.
Come on.
This is not necessarily rule number two, but put it down in the middle of the page somewhere and don't number it yet. We'll figure out where it falls.
These don't have an order. They're all number one.
Okay. I like it. I'm with it. No one's more powerful than you. Now, I've been dealing with a certain cousin letter. We'll leave the letter out.
could be any one of the 26.
Could be cousin B. Could be cousin C.
Somewhere in there.
It's not cousin Balk.
Right.
It's cousin letter something.
Letter. Yeah.
And cousin letter has been Over the past few months, he's been dealing with some shit in his life.
Okay.
And so, he also feels like, Smoke, what up? Smoke's texting me. Instead of texting anything in a live chat, Smoke's texting me on the, I'm getting it on my Dick Tracy.
Is he texting you about the show, though?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's...
So you know he's paying attention.
Yeah. Shut up, Siri. Also, you noticed that was a man's voice?
Yeah.
I can't have no broad yelling at me all day.
What are you going to do with that? They never listen.
So our cousin Letter has been going through some things, and he's a character, and his life is mapped out as such that he kind of is very closed off to people.
Okay.
Right? Very introverted. Not necessarily when you meet him, but when it comes to the details of his life.
It's a little clammed up.
So Smoke Dog.
Okay.
Smoke Dog is maybe the shadiest guy I know. This guy is my best friend for fucking 20 years, and there's still things that
still
I don't
know
about
his middle
him.
Name.
Yeah, right. So, me and Cousin Letter are talking about some stuff, and he's telling me the problems, and I look at him and I go, because he said something about, like, I just don't know how to switch this up. Like, I'm just stuck in this rut.
Okay.
I say, Cousin Letter, no one is more powerful than you.
Right.
And the idea, the breakdown of that is that, like, if you look exteriorly, you like that?
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
Right.
If you look exteriorly rather than interiorly.
Right.
There are people who hold more powerful positions in the world than you.
Yes.
Without a doubt. The president, your boss, maybe your old lady.
Right.
You know? People have more power than you and more say exteriorly. However, when it comes to calling the shots on your in your life, you're the guy who is all powerful to be able to make your choices.
Yeah.
You may have an exterior force for something force a choice upon you. Let's take, because we're all reformed knuckleheads here, let's take doing time.
Okay.
Right? You are not doing time by choice.
No.
An entity, the state of wherever you're from, New Jersey for me, the state of New Jersey has put this restriction on you. They have used their power to tell you, hey, you're going to sit in this box for a little while.
Right.
Now, I'm not powerful in the fashion that I can override that, but I am powerful inside of my own brain to the point where I can take that situation and make it something that they don't want it to be. I can right. override their power where it's like, we're sitting you down for a punishment, and I'm going to override that because I'm powerful enough to turn your punishment into a, what's the word I want? Rehabilitation is not really the word I'm looking for, but something kind of like
your
that.
Progress.
Yeah. I could take what you put on me and turn it into anything I want.
Right.
Whether that aligns with reality or not. A lot of times we see it where people use their all-encompassing self-power to, like, take reality and bend it to what is comfortable for them.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about that because we don't really do comfort here at the TWD manual.
No. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you're in control of your perspective of whatever the situation is. You're right. You may not be able to, you know, control where you are or when you're there, but you can certainly control the understanding as to why you're there and what you can accomplish while you're there.
Give me another situation where people may feel powerless. You know what? Here's one that'll kick up because you love to fight this one.
Well, then just remember that you asked for it.
The all-powerful Justin says, big facts, take that time and turn it into a 2-year gym membership.
There you go. You got Planet Fitness.
This is muscle memory, dog.
Sure.
This doesn't come from a couple of 45-minute sessions at the gym every week.
It comes from a solid three years of having nothing else to do.
This is years of doing push-ups, Jack. There's this ongoing... That yoke you're smoking is worse than cigarettes. I don't necessarily disagree with you or agree with you. I will stand firmly down the center.
Right on the yellow line.
Right here in the center. So you love to tell me, that there are people who are addicted to drugs who have no choice but being addicted to drugs. And the idea of the 12-step programs is your first move is to come in and say, I'm powerless.
Right.
Now, I wholeheartedly disagree with this because I know when I was using drugs, every day that I woke up, it was a choice to say, you know what, today I am going to go do some wild shit so I can get $20 so I can go blow it with Flacco.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I've over the course of the show, I've changed my perspective, and I realize now that all the science and all the studies, they're all wrong.
Yeah.
And you're right.
No, well, yes, I am. This is, right. And I'm going to tell you why those studies are in place.
Yeah.
One, you can't trust a drug addict to tell you the truth.
Agreed.
So, if you're a scientist talking to a drug addict trying to get answers about what's going on inside of their brain, they don't know what's going on inside of their brain. I don't know how they're going to properly put that into terms and give it to you. Now, this is not a knock on the 12 steps. It's not my... I think it's a great place to start should you have a drug problem.
Right.
So if you have a drug problem right now and you can't figure it out, sure, there's a meeting near you somewhere. I suggest you give it a shot because the long-term movements that come out of getting off of the shit, you win. I promise you. I'm not a guy who was ever supposed to have a new dirt bike, a nice truck, a family, a business, and a podcast hobby.
Right.
But
hobby. How dare you, hobby?
Because I believed in my own power.
Right.
I was able to accomplish this by tapping into like, oh, my power comes from consistency of putting one foot in front of the other day in and day out.
Sure. But can't the 12-stepper make the case that they have to empower the 12 steps for them to work? Like, yes, you're right. The idea is you're powerless to this thing, so you have to find a way to not submit to it anymore. But for the people who are actively doing it for the right reasons, if you're putting yourself in the 12-step program, aren't you taking control of it, even though you have to say that you don't have control?
No, no.
You're taking control?
You are. You are to an... Yes, you are. And if that's the way that you have to do it, or the way that works for you,
right?
I support it. I support it wholeheartedly. What I've seen, and the way that it works in my brain, is that... By going to the 12-step program, and this is just for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking anybody else's way that they stay off the shit.
Right.
By going to the 12-step program, you are turning your power over to something else, right? Oh, you're saying, right. I can't do this. Will you guys show me? Now, there's certain things. It's a brainwashing. It's a much-needed brainwashing because your brain is dirty. This is a thing that they say, right?
Okay.
They said this was a brainwash. Well, I needed a brainwash because my brain was dirty. They love to say that.
Bars.
Yeah. It's good. But there's certain things that are put in your head in that field that then cause problems should you stray away from the 12 steps, right?
Okay.
The one that jumps into my head mostly is they tell you one is too many and 1,000 is never enough.
Right.
Right. So now if you wind up slipping up, right, you're clean for 6 months, 12 months, whatever, 2 years, 3 years, you slip up, you smoke a joint, you have a drink, whatever. Now that thing that's ingrained in you is that this one was too many. And I'm now because I used one. I'm going pedal to the metal. I've heard that said. I'm telling you, I've heard this. It doesn't doesn't associate with that saying fully.
I don't think that's what it means. I think if that's what somebody got out of it, but I don't
know. No, but what I'm telling you is, what I'm telling you is day in and day out, that's a thing that is discussed. Is like, I can't have one because as an addict, if I have one, I'm going balls to the wall. I'm losing my wife. I'm this, I'm that. So you hear that time and time and time again. That not purposely, stuff like that gets ingrained in you to the point where like, damn, I smoked a joint, now it starts to unravel, and I've seen it with a lot of guys happen that way.
I think I think they're misconstruing the point.
I think the whole thing is misconstrued actual practice of the 12-step program is misconstrued from the actual program.
You're probably right, like any other religion. But the idea of one is too many and 1,000 is not enough isn't to put you in the middle ground. It's to put you before the one.
Yes.
So if you're already at the point where you smoke the joint, you've already ignored the advice that is giving you.
Right.
So anything you're doing after that is addict behavior, right? Oh, I'm in now. I might as well go all the way in. But that's got nothing to do with that sentence. That sentence is you should never even get to the one, because once you get to the one, you're going down a fast hill.
And that idea of I smoked one, I might as well go all in being addict behavior. The problem with that is that if you're identifying as an addict still 5 years after you got off the shit,
right?
Now you're giving yourself a bumper. Oh, well, I'm an addict. Of course I did that. Of course I went from smoking one joint to eating pills and sniffing blow for 3 weeks straight because I'm an addict. It's not me. I'm not once I do one, I'm powerless.
Okay.
I don't have power over this. And that's not the reality. You see my drug use and drinking.
Right.
There's been a few times since we've started the podcast where I've said to you, like, I think I'm drinking too much.
Yeah.
And that was just once a week, every week for X amount of months, right? And it was, no one's more powerful than me.
Right.
I'm drinking too much. I have the power to change this decision and stop drinking so much. And when was the last time we had a drink when we were sitting on the podcast? You know what I'm saying?
Sure. But now, to sort of the counter to that while we're talking about this, you made that decision when you were of sound mind, right? If we were here on a Friday night and you were four rum chattas in, started wondering if you were drinking too much, there's a good...
That's
as much of a good chance that you would continue drinking.
Well, that night.
That night, not...
Right.
Right, because as we discussed before, you weren't an addict, you were a druggie. It's a different game.
But you say that, but you don't... You weren't with me shooting in a gym, all right, dog.
So how about this?
You weren't with me shooting in the arm?
You are... Not the only one, but you are the most powerful of drug addicts who can overcome their drug addiction strictly through thought.
No.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, it's all thought. Everything, yes. Everybody has to overcome their addiction through thought. Correct. That is a very true statement.
Okay.
I am one who overcame my addiction via self-righteousness.
Yeah.
In a healthy way. See, so people hear self-righteous, right, and it's like it has a negative connotation. Yeah. But it is, self-righteousness has been the driving force behind all of my accomplishments.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the driving force that just gets me out of the bed. Like, I am righteous. I am the guy on this path.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that there's probably a guy who committed double homicide that's in jail because he thought he was righteous. Like, there's games to be played within controlling your own destiny. And the 12-step thing, and we're not debating it. We both agree if it's what you need or if it's what works for you, then God bless. Go do it.
Yeah.
But it's...
What I'm trying to say...
The 12-step isn't about mentally beating it. It's about beating it through routines.
Yeah.
Right? You beat it by saying, all right, I'm going to put this aside. I have more important things to focus on in my life. I have things, people that need me. So I'm going to ignore that this stuff exists as best I can because I need to be functioning and fully able to help out where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Some people can't get to that mindset, but if I can get them every day, okay, at 8:30 I do this, at 10:30 I do this, at 1 o'clock I do this, and they just go through this routine until they kind of almost forget why they're doing the routine, that can be effective as well.
Yeah. You know what's even more effective?
Just stopping.
Tuning into the TWD manual and picking up one of these rules every week and beginning to implement them in your life. I promise you, if you get 36 episodes deep of the manual, take each of those rules that are mapped out for you, apply all of them, you'll get to the thing that you want. What is that thing you want? I don't know. In the chat, tell me what you want. I'll tell you if it's realistic. Now, obviously, I might get to $1 million one day. Dollars.
Okay. I thought you meant listeners.
I would like $1 million. Okay. It's in big money, not $1 million, but big money is in front of me.
Yeah.
And I refuse to not to believe anything other than the fact that at some point I'm going to be making big, comfortable money without swinging a hammer.
You got to envision it.
I envision it. Yeah. And everything thus far I've envisioned has become true, whether I, whether it came in my time or universal time.
Or it's time.
But it's all came because
always came
I've always kept that thing loosely in front of me, knowing that one foot in front of the other one, no one is more powerful than me when it comes to my life. And so as long as I keep using that power to put one foot in front of the other one, we're going to get to a dirt bike. Now that I got a dirt bike, I got
Sky's
a truck,
the limit.
I don't have anything else to get. I'm going back to sniffing cocaine, dude.
Thank goodness.
I'm going to throw it all away now.
Finally, we can have fun shows again.
Let's get out of here. We'll get a couple of jars of PCP, sprinkle a little powder on top, and see what the night holds, Jack.
Let's go.
That is your weekly episode of The Manual. We appreciate you guys stopping by. Look, please, please, please go over to Thorough White Dude and subscribe to us over there. We're trying to build it up. Because we think we messed up in the beginning with some things on the gig and we're not getting the traction we should. So we're trying to start it again and do it the right way over at the Thorough White Dude. I need that money without swinging a hammer. 676, you'll get it. Victor Coco, you need a job with Fox Sportsnet. It's coming to you. Psilocybin Riding, you need, as far as I know, an X Game Silver. I think it's coming your way. And Justin Malatesta, you need to watch your goddamn mouth when you're talking to me. This is The Manual. We'll see you guys next week.